RadioInfluence.com.
Why, Crusher, it's good to see you.
Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crochelle. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
All right, everybody, welcome to Crush Performance. I am Jeff Crochelle. The con man is here keeping us on track, and we're your weekly source for performance information. If you have any questions, comments, smart remarks, get to us. Our website is crushperformance.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush, and on Facebook, go to Crush Performance. You can also join our group, The Talent Grid, where we're just hooking everybody up to the world of performance. Today, a really big show. Of course, the Olympics are almost over, so we've got to talk about that. What a great Games it's been. I'm already in withdrawal from the Games. I just love it. Maybe we should reconsider the Olympics to maybe be a little more annual, maybe a little more year-round. I'd like to see more World Cup. I mean, the World Cup performances are a lot like the Olympics, all wrapped up in one. Why not watch this a little more often? I think we do need to pay heed to these great athletes and these sort of, you know, off-mainstream sports. We'll talk about that for sure. Great Games over in Korea. Also, of course, today's main theme, baseball. Spring training's underway, and it has turned out to be a very, very interesting start to the spring season. 30 teams, 31 training camps. We have an entire separate camp down in Bradenton, Florida at the IMG Academy of free agents that haven't signed yet. Now look, if you look at the number of free agents that are unsigned at this point, you could field an incredibly competitive team. There's no doubt about it. A very, very interesting offseason for Major League Baseball. Is there trouble looming? Oh boy, I think so. We're going to talk about that. And I want to let you all know, my first book is officially out. It's called The Performance Plan, Strategies for Top Performance in Sport, Business, Coaching, and Life. I want to talk about this. It was a very interesting process for me. I never really had the intentions of writing a book, just never anything that crossed my mind. But this last year, with the number of requests and the kind of issues we're seeing in sport right now, I thought, why not? Why not write up sort of a guide, put it together for everybody? It's the system we use with all the organizations and athletes we start working with. You need to start with a plan. And that performance plan is actually quite simple. It's a quick read. We're going to talk about it later in the show because let's just face it, when it comes to achieving your goals or success or just getting better at something, there's a process. It's different for everybody, but there are certain rules you can take advantage of, you wouldn't believe, to help you along your way. And that's what the book's all about. We'll talk about that later in the show for sure. So the Olympics, almost over. Connor, I know you've enjoyed them. I've totally enjoyed them. They're on our TV 24 hours a day because when we're sleeping and they're on, we're taping. So it's on every TV 24 hours a day at our house. And I'm already honestly missing it. I was missing it last week when I knew there was a week left of the Olympics. I wonder if it wouldn't be a good idea to maybe pay more heed to the World Cup circuits, you know, and all these different sports. These sports are going on every year. I wonder if we couldn't do more of this type of thing. I wonder if we get tired of it. I don't think I would. I really don't. And I think if the television coverage was a lot like the Olympics, you know, in terms of these World Cup events that go on. I mean, I don't know how many races these teams do. I mean, it's different for speed skating and bobsled, and they don't happen all at once. But wouldn't it be cool to watch, you know, the world's best freestylers in slopestyle and moguls? Dual moguls is something that happens on the World Cup stage. Now, my daughter skied moguls, and she was actually quite good at it before she stepped away. But we had a chance to go to a couple World Cup races, and they are fantastic, man. And the cool thing about it, I kind of think maybe it's a lot like NASCAR. I haven't gone to a big NASCAR race. That's on my bucket list. But, you know, everybody in NASCAR talks about how you can get close to the drivers and close to the teams. They're really accessible. I'm telling you what, at these World Cup freestyle mogul events in the slope style, the athletes are right there. You get to stand right next to, shake the hands of, the best athletes in the world. And one of the things that happens in moguls that they don't do in the Olympics, and they have to add this in, is the dual moguls. And I'm not sure if the athletes like it because it's fast and furious, but it is so awesome to watch. I mean, you want to talk about excitement? This would be, I mean, I believe that the moguls are sort of the 100 meters of the Winter Olympics. I really do. I think it's the most exciting event they have going right now. I do like the addition of all the slope style events. I think that's really brought a great flair and a good vibe to the games. It's brought it up to date. It's got it into the new millennium. It's a cool, hip vibe, man. And these guys are, when they're not competing on the World Cup or at the Olympics, they're riding the Dew Tour. They're competing at the X Games. It's just a real, real cool addition to the games. And I think we could expand on that a little bit. Imagine seeing that on a regular basis. How much fun would that be? I wonder if the sport calendar would get too crowded, though. I'm not sure. What do you guys think? Let us know. Text us 101260. Do you think you'd like to see the World Cup or more Olympic-type events on an annual basis, summer or winter? I mean, maybe what we could do is have the culmination of all the World Cup, the bobsled, the speed skating, the cross-country skiing, Nordic skiing, the downhill, the freestyle, all come together for a World Cup year-end just festival, like a festival of World Cup sport. How about that? I like it. I'm just full of ideas right now. Let us know what you think. Get to us. Text 101260. Standard text rates do apply. You can also email us. Go to crushperformance.com or drop us a tweet at Jeff Crush is Twitter. Would you like to see more of this? Well, I'm missing the Olympics already. Some really, really interesting storylines. Some not so good, some great. I mean, I always like to focus on the positive. But the one story that sort of overshadowed these games right from the get-go, of course, is the Russian doping scandal. And then, of course, the Russian curler testing positive for meldronium, the same drug that Sharapova tested positive for. This seems to be a Russian favorite, and I don't say that lightly, because in 2015, when they really started investigating the Russian doping scandal, they found that 17% of Russian athletes tested positive for this very drug. That's like 224 out of the 4,000 plus athletes they tested, tested positive for this drug. Now, it's a drug that's used to help blood flow, expand blood flow. Where you have blood flow restrictions, they'll prescribe this drug under certain doses and certain frequencies, just like any other prescription drug, but it helps enhance blood flow. So you can kind of connect the dots where it might be helpful in sport. Does it help a curler? I'm not sure. I think there's massive implications here for recovery, no doubt about it. So in 2016, WADA, after one complete year of reviewing this very drug, put it on the banned substance list. January 1st, 2016, it goes on. Sharapova claims that they didn't realize it was now a banned drug. And of course, all hell broke loose on that. Whose responsibility is it? It, at the end of the day, is the athlete's responsibility and the team around the athletes to make sure that whatever they're taking isn't on the banned substance list. So Sharapova's team was saying, hey, look, we didn't realize it was. So when they started looking into Sharapova's case, they found that the way she was using it had nothing to do with the way it would be prescribed by a doctor. So the battle went on there, and of course she lost that battle. And now we see it here at the Olympics. After what's happened, you gotta think a Russian athlete that goes through the screening system to be an Olympic athlete from Russia, deemed a clean athlete that wasn't involved in that massive doping scandal that's coming out of Russia, would be on high alert to make sure they don't consume something that's on the banned substance list. The story right now, the way it sits right at this point, is they're claiming he was set up, sabotaged, whatever you want to call it, but his drink was spiked or his food was contaminated. They're making a claim that he did not intentionally consume this drug. So that goes on, and it's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate for sport, certainly unfortunate for the clean Russian athletes. And again, it's just cast a gray cloud, I believe, over the shadows. You can either decide to pay attention to it, which I believe we should, because we have to do something about this. And I know the IOC, WADA, and the major sporting organizations that govern world sport are going to be held acutely accountable from this day forward. And I think this whole Russian ban is a shot across the bow. I just hope that the IOC and all of these major sporting organizations can really stay true to the cause of, you know, fighting for clean sport and the integrity of sport at the end of the day. I guess the silver lining here is that everybody's aware of this doping problem now, maybe more than ever, and hopefully we can move forward in the right direction. A couple of really great stories coming out of the Olympics that I want to get to, of course. The Nigerian bobsled team. This is like Cool Runnings 2. I kind of like it. Eddie the Eagle kind of esque type of a storyline, but a really great story in the winter sports. I think that they were fairly competitive. I'm not so fond of the slope-style skier that had no business being on an Olympic hill competing at the Olympics. I just don't think that's what the games are all about, because you found a loophole and you can get in and strap on some skis and slide down a hill. I don't think that particular athlete should be at the Olympics. Eddie the Eagle was able to jump and be semi-competitive. The Nigerian bobsled team did a great job, I thought, and I'm looking forward to watching them as they move forward. But I think it expands the boundaries of sport, and I really, really like that. For me, that was one of the great storylines coming out of the games. And then, of course, one of the things that everybody's following as the Olympic Games comes around is the medal counts, the goals of each country, and how the medals come down, the gold medals, the silver medals, and it's always fun to watch. But there's a really interesting story here. It's one that I don't think's got enough attention over the years, but if you look at the country of Norway, 5.2 million people dominating the world, and I mean not just by a little bit, by a lot. It's a pretty interesting story, much like Canada going into the 2010 Olympics in Vancouver, where they heavily reinvested into the sport development program, the sport science, the long-term athlete development program, all the great things that Canada has done that is, frankly, steering the world stage in terms of athlete development. But Norway, much like Canada, made a huge investment into sport and elite sport development. Coming out of the 2006 Games in Torino, they only had two golds. Norway really struggled, and they vowed after those games, never again. It's an incredible source of national pride, these Olympic Games. I think for any country, you could go anywhere in the world and watch these flags wave, the TVs are on, and there is national pride at stake. You know, whether you get gold or whether you have a young athlete competing, it is just fantastic to see these athletes dedicate their blood, sweat, and tears for the honor of the country and to wear that flag on the national stage. It doesn't matter what country you come from. That's incredibly important. But Norway, coming out of Italy, really invested in their elite development programs. But the story goes well, well beyond just sport. It's their entire approach to their system. Did you know that in Norway, they don't keep score in sports until the age of 13? Winning's not a priority. Participating in one particular sport's not a priority. And it's really paid off. Their goal is not to develop the best 10-year-olds in the world. Their goal is to take the long-term approach and develop the most accomplished and mature adults in the world. And they've succeeded in a number of ways, not just in sport. Last year, the United Nations ranked Norway as the number one nation for their Human Development Index, which includes quality of life, education, the happiness index, livelihood, all of these parameters that contribute to a happy population. Norway's number one. They have one of the highest GDPs in the world. Yes, they have long winters. Yes, they're born on skis, but they're happy. They're a happy people, a happy population. And not only that, when they're developing their youth and their young talent, they've taken a massive shift, which I think the world really needs to pay attention to. Fun is the key. Fun is the key for everything, not only in their developmental sports, but also in their world-class sports. And if you watch the Norwegians compete, man, they're having fun. And of course, winning's always fun. They don't win all the time, but boy, oh boy, with a population of 5.2 million people, they are kicking some serious global butt at these Olympics. Their goal was to win 30. They accomplished that and more. And I think that we will watch these guys with great interest, because we always say on this show, if you want to find out what to do, look to the best. Try to analyze, study, understand what the best are doing, because there are nuggets there. There's nuggets certainly there as to what you might want to be doing. There's also nuggets there indicating maybe what you should stay away from. Either way, you can learn from the top performers in the world. And just a fantastic Games. That's what the Olympics is all about. Really, Truly loved it. And not only that, the online coverage was great. The television coverage was stupendous, especially, you know, considering the time changes over here in North America. It was really easy to access and watch the replays. Really great coverage. And I think that bodes well for sports. I'd like to see more of it. Let us know what you think. Should we be watching more World Cup action between these Olympic Games? I really think so. I think it would be great to have more coverage. Or does our sporting calendar get too cluttered up then? Do we start losing sight of it? I'm not sure. I love it. I would watch it. No question about it, especially if it was presented, a World Cup event was presented kind of like the Olympics are, for sure. Well, that's it for the Olympics. I am in withdrawal. I know you guys are too. We'll be talking about it for the next few weeks, no doubt about it. But spring training is underway. So the rest of this show is dedicated to the beautiful summer game of baseball. You know, there's a lot going on in the sport calendar. But when spring training gets underway, all eyes turn south. The Cactus League, the Grapefruit League are underway. And of course, the infamous 31st spring training camp. The camp of the nomads, the unwanted, so to speak, or maybe the unsignable, depending on how you look at it. But there are a great number of extremely talented free agents who haven't signed yet. What's it all about? Also coming up, let's talk about the new rules going into this Major League season as the commissioner's office tries to speed up the game. And will this free agency fiasco lead to problems down the road as the CBA starts to unwind? Baseball could be in a very precarious situation if it's not handled properly. We'll talk about that later in the show. Coming up right after this break, hey, there's a new age in player development. And I'm telling you, we've said this before in the show, technology and understanding the mind are going to be the two major areas where we push human performance coming forward. And it's happening right now in the game of baseball. We're joined by Tim Nicely from VFlex Sports right after this. Stick around, everyone. Crush Performance, we're your weekly source for performance information. Join me, Jeff Kerschel, and the Con Man as we dig deep into the science and research of talent development and skill acquisition to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it really takes to achieve human maximum performance. And go to our website, crushperformance.com, to get details on my brand new book, The Performance Plan, strategies for top performance in sport, business, coaching, and life. Our goal is to help you get better, and it starts with The Performance Plan. Get control, get focused, and get results. We're Crush Performance. Join us weekly right here on Radio Influence.
If you have any performance questions, comments, or smart remarks, text Crusher at 101260 and follow him on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Now, here he is, the Crusher.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Crush Performance. If you want to get in touch with us, do so. Crushperformance.com is the website. Today, we are talking baseball, and if there's a couple of priorities right now in the game, number one, of course, has to be injury prevention. We all know the landscape when it comes to injuries out there, and we're making progress. Understanding why the problems are happening is one of the biggest steps to solving the problems in the first place, and I think we're doing a pretty good job of that on the injury front. The second major priority in the game today has to be player development, especially when we look at the discrepancy in payrolls. But we're seeing it both ends. Not only are the big role teams really paying attention and now investing more and more into their developmental levels of the game, but the small market teams are building their futures from within. And it's a really, really interesting twist to the game. Not that player development has ever not been a priority. I just think because of what we're learning in terms of developing young athletes and how that translates and coordinates with developing great young players, we're not relying so much on maybe that natural talent just to come together and make it to the big leagues. We are engineering and developing world-class performance, and it's very interesting. On that note, we're always looking for new, unique ways to tap into human potential. And one of the biggest things we're doing for baseball right now is looking at visual training and tapping into the mind. And we're joined right now by one of the game's pioneers breaking into the game right now. They've already been a big part of a couple incredibly successful playoff runs. We're joined now by Tim Nicely, the president of VFlex Technologies and VFlex Sports. Tim, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jeff.
Well, I've been looking forward to this since we met down at the baseball ranch in Texas with Ron Wolferth there. And our conversations were deep, they were enlightening, and they were educational for sure. So I've really been looking forward to this. You know, Tim, we look at the landscape in terms of sport and athlete development, and we're at a turning point. When it comes to the physical side, we pretty much have it handled, given, you know, the wanton and the desire of an athlete and a little bit of time. There's not a lot we can accomplish in terms of the physical side. We pretty much have it down. And it's our belief here that, you know, the next real push for human performance are going to come from two areas. One is going to be technology. And the second is going to be understanding the brain and the mental side of sport a little better. And what you've been doing, Tim, for, well, your life's work here is combining those two very exciting things. So maybe for our audience, maybe give us a little bit of your background, and then we'll dive into the V-Flex and the spatial training techniques that you're mastering over there at V-Flex Sports.
Well, I'm an educator by profession, Jeff, and I graduated from Middle Tennessee State University with an education degree, jumped right out of that, went into coaching. I played baseball there at Middle Tennessee, and I thought my passion and my love would be baseball, you know, high school level, maybe college level or something like that, and went right into it and, you know, spent quite a few years there in that world. But being, you know, my family were all builders. I'm a general contractor by trade. You know, I do lots of things and have been in a lot of business adventures, you know, through time. But in 1999, my cousin fell on one of my jobs, had a massive brain injury, and she almost died in my arms. I mean, she was bleeding from both ears, 10 days in a deep coma, 145 days on life support, and 7 years before she knew her name again. And my secondary job was teaching psychology at the local high school and coaching baseball and softball. And, you know, it kind of spun my world around a little bit when she had her injury. I really started to dive into the brain and tried to understand how can it heal itself, because the doctors were, you know, had to all take their hands off of her and just let her be. She was in a vegetable state there for a while. But, you know, I was fortunate enough to know enough about psychology and the brain to see the types of progress she was making and what kind of triggers were triggering some of her progress. So, you know, I kind of just stayed in that realm for a while as well. You know, I probably spent 8 or 10 years doing nothing but studying the medical side of the brain, something that I really knew nothing about. You know, I'm not a doctor. I don't hold a doctor's degree or anything like that, but I do hold 3 patents, you know, intellectual property patents on how the brain actually processes space and time. And it's pretty neat. I mean, you just don't see those type of IPs very often. So, you know, that's just a little bit of my background, my history. You know, I didn't start out to actually develop V-Flex for baseball and softball, you know, and you know, it just came out of the due diligence, and when I started to see the clues that I needed, you know, to build a spatial representation inside the brain so that the brain could basically teach itself better, you know, in an implicit system, which we do here at V-Flex. You know, it's basically just providing the brain the types of information that it needs to teach itself. And we've been stuck in this explicit world for a long, long time. You know, to where a coach is putting a ball on a tee and he's talking to you about your swing and about your mental approach and how do you feel today and, you know, were your hips in the right spot or whatever. And we went completely away from that type of approach and just looked at the brain, looked at its numbers, and its numbers weren't really good. I mean, strikeouts continue to rise at the big league level. You know, it's ridiculous that we've taken, you know, the path that we've actually taken over the last maybe 20 years, you know, and it's really not gotten us anywhere. And now that V-Flex is on the scene, a lot of guys are really starting to take a hard look at us. This will be the 3rd year that the Astros have trained on our system. They started out just wading in, you know, real nice and easy. They bought one piece their first year, 3 pieces last year, and this year they have 13 pieces. You know, throughout their entire organization, they have pieces in the Dominican Republic and all of their domestic teams. So we're excited, man. It's going to be a lot of fun for us this year. I encourage you to ask, yeah.
Yeah, no question. We're talking with Tim Nicely, the CEO and founder of VFlex Sports. Now, what a great story. I mean, this is a project and a product that's born pretty much out of necessity. As you looked at your family member who had suffered a brain injury, and you dived right in, Tim, to really investigate how the brain works. And your background in psychology certainly helped. And, you know, your background in sport married everything together like a perfect storm. And here we are on the cusp of the VFlex, really changing how we do things. Now, you mentioned a couple of things. You mentioned the implicit and explicit world of training, and I agree with you 100%. We have been going down the wrong road for all too long, and right now we're at a Y in the road. And I think the people that really get it, Tim, and it's going to take some time, there's no doubt about it, but they're going to take the right path now. And a part of it's going to be about education, and that's why I'm excited to have you on the show today. But maybe for our listeners...
No doubt.
Hey, for our listeners, Tim, how about this? How about maybe we delve in and start here? Let's explain the difference between the explicit world and the implicit world so they can understand where your mindset was when you put this whole thing together.
Well, you know, understanding explicit, you know, was simple. You know, you go to a convention, you know, I left the ABCA and went to the NFCA. I have booths at both of these conventions and several other conventions across the country. But you walk through the vendors area and there are, say there are 1,000 products, which there are many more than that, but just for mathematics' sake, there's 1,000 products. 1,000 of them will be explicit trainers. I mean, that's how lopsided this world is. I mean, there's not like 595 explicit trainers and 400 and some odd other implicit trainers. There are only, and I do mean only, explicit trainers on the market.
Right.
You know, VFlex is virtually the first implicit training system of the brain where the working mechanisms that you are working with, the principal electromagnetic field, basically, is what we're creating these hot zones out of, or these trigger spaces, you know, to where strikes look much different than a ball looks. You know, when you throw batting practice through one of our devices, the strike zone is an emerging strike zone. When we've understood that, you know, in times past, the explicit side would try to build a strike zone from physical feedback. You know, they would, you know, tell you to try to feel your hips or feel your hands or feel your body or get something external to your brain so that your brain could actually, you know, try to build itself a strike zone.
Right.
You know, they'd set a ball on the outside part of the tee or the middle part of the tee or the inside part of the plate, you know, and start swinging hundreds and hundreds of times to try and build a better swing path or something external that's built from an external stimulus, you know, or external feedback. But we don't do that. I mean, in the implicit world, everything you do has to come from the inside first. So when we create a strike zone for your brain to work with, your eyes cannot see it. They're not allowed to see anything, but your brain can make one appear to itself. Therefore, if you can collect enough energy or electromagnetic energy within the brain, then you can create a strike zone. You can create one that looks like a rectangle. You can make one that looks like a circle. You can make whatever you want, you know, your primary zone to be. You can make one implicitly because you're asking the brain to make it for you. And you're not talking to it in English, I will tell you that. You're talking to it in these visual prompters that we put in front of hitters and in front of pitchers so that their brain creates their own unique strike zone. So that's the difference between implicit and explicit training. And that's why, you know, when you see in these conventions, you know, all of these gadgets and gimmicks and all the things that have been there forever and ever and ever and ever, but nobody seemed to be getting better, it was because they provided basically physical feedback information. I mean, they've got a ball hanging on a string and, you know, all of these things, but that isn't where the strike zone exists. The strike zone has to be created by the brain internally, not externally. And hard concept to actually get across to people. I mean, we've been growing slowly for the last 5 years, basically, and only the true intellectuals have really gotten it, and a lot of the guys that actually have our product, I mean, they call all the time with a lot of questions. It's like, man, how do I do this and how do I do that? Because they can't see it in their own mind because they've only been exposed to explicit training drills.
Sure.
And yeah, I feel sorry for them. I mean, it's not like you can go into any class, or there were no speakers at any of those conventions this year that talked about implicit learning. So they don't have a clue about implicit learning.
Sure.
None. And that's why I'm on this radio station tonight. I'm excited. My God, Jeff, what an opportunity, man, to share with an audience that somebody out there will get it tonight. I don't know who it'll be, but somebody will.
Yeah. No, Tim, there's no question in my mind. Somebody will get it. There's no doubt. And the tide is turning now as we really shift, you know, towards tapping into human performance and really understanding what it takes. You know, this combination of technology and the mind, and what you're talking about is training the mind in a way that for me is incredibly tangible. I understand this stuff. And again, I've done a lot of work in this area, so I get it. When I heard you first speak, I'm not going to lie to you, Tim, light bulbs were going off left and right. And I'm not talking about light bulbs that weren't there before. There were light bulbs that I just couldn't light up before. And I'm talking about light bulbs in terms of the implications of this type of training, but also the opportunity to provide athletes with something that actually really makes sense. So let's do this, Tim. Let's do this. Let's talk about the V-Flex, the implicit training system. Let's talk about it as a hitter. Let's maybe describe it for our listeners. Hey, guys, everybody listening today, you can go check this incredible stuff out at vflexsports.com. There's fantastic information there, and you can watch videos. It's really, really cool. Tim, I think, you know, your work speaks for itself. The fact that the Astros are now all in a number of colleges. We have pro teams now signing on this spring. It's great. I want to bring this to the world with you because I just know the power here, and it goes well beyond baseball, that's for sure. But because we're at spring training, and you and I are both passionate about the game of baseball, let's set this up for a hitter. First of all, what does the system look like? If somebody were to see this for the first time, how would you describe it to them?
Well, it's like something they've never seen on a baseball or a softball field, I will tell you that.
Yeah.
You know, to where you're providing something that's actually sitting in front of a hitter, you know, and these shapes that I put in front of the hitter are basically round. You know, some of the systems are 3 feet in diameter. Some of them are 5 feet. Some of them are 7 feet. Because I want to stimulate a larger surface area as I grow through this system. So it depends on if you're going to do front toss, which we've done front toss in baseball for a long time, but there was no actual benefit from doing front toss. So front toss really got a bad rap and has gotten a bad rap for the last, I'd say, 50 years because the ball wasn't coming through an enhanced space. You know, it was just passing through normal millivolt space inside the brain.
Right.
You know, and therefore, space didn't weigh anything.
So, hey, Tim,
the ball, you know, appeared the same. The ball appeared the same, whether it was in the outside part of the plate, the inside part of the plate, or the middle part of the plate.
Yeah. Hey, Tim.
Now that you can produce that or put V-Flex in front of a hitter, you can change, you know, their brain's interpretation of space
right.
by putting these devices there. It would be basically like just turning up the voltage in the brain in a particular area, not a large area, a specific area that we're identifying as the strike zone. You know, and it's, they never forget the first place they see one because it's so novel, it's so different that guys will come back and say, yep, I saw it here, I saw it there, and I haven't seen these people. And it's like, yep, I saw it 7 years ago over at the University of Florida. You know, it's like, you did. You remember where you were the first time you saw it? It's like, yeah, I'd never seen one, so why wouldn't I remember it, you know?
Well, here's what I could tell you. The first time I saw it, it reminded me of something out of a Star Trek time warp sort of a scene, right? Coming at you. Hey,
yeah.
Tim, I really, really like the concept. And basically, would it be safe to say, or would it be fair to say that what we're doing here with the V-Flex is we're really just organizing space and how we perceive space and what's going on inside of a particular space. We're organizing it from our visual field to how our brain interprets what we're seeing. Does that make sense?
It's perfect, man. Yeah. If you don't reconfigure it, if you don't take something, you know, that's just sitting there in a ratio that really doesn't mean anything, it's kind of like raindrops falling on the ground. In that form, they're not usable as an energy form. They have to be collected and put into a stream and then put into a reservoir. And then they build, you know, it builds that energy that we need to turn turbines, but it can't do it as rain. It has to be collected. And you're perfectly right, you know, in looking at it that way. And you say, you know, by organizing it, you're basically creating a path of least resistance for the brain.
Right.
I mean, if you can't create a path of least resistance and create a quicker, faster way to its reward, then it'll kick you out. I mean, you can't mentally override that function in the brain. The brain is so efficient that if your system that you're trying to get it to integrate isn't an efficient system, you won't see any benefit. You'll work your tail off for years, but your strikeout ratio will still be the same. You take a million swings, it wouldn't make any difference because you didn't go about it efficiently enough for the brain to say, yeah, I passed that.
Got it. Hey, Tim, one of the things I really appreciate, we're talking with Tim Nicely, the CEO and founder of V-Flex Sports, an incredible new technology that's helping athletes better understand their environment and how to react to it. And in baseball, it has been an absolute game changer. And I don't say that lightly in any way, shape, or form. Tim, when we first met, one of the great conversations you and I had, and one thing that I really, really appreciated was our conversation of hitters versus pitchers. And I really like how you're sort of gearing this towards the hitters to give them advantage, because at this point, pitchers are running away with the game. And I like that you're kind of, you know, not so pushing the pitching side, though there's incredible value there. You're sort of gearing it towards hitters to give them a little advantage so they can help catch up a little bit. Pretty cool, I thought.
Yeah, I did that. I mean, I gave them a 5-year head start.
Yeah.
You know, and baseball really didn't jump on board. Tony Gwynn came on board really early on, and Tony told me, he said, man, it's the best product I've seen in 30 years. You know, he said, I just love it. You know, and he was the very first guy in the NCAA to pick us up. You know, but he told me it was going to take a long time in baseball because of they're just old school.
Yeah.
You know, and that's okay. I'm an old school guy too, but I had to learn a new trick, you know, because the brain forced me to. And now, you know, we're heading into the baseball side. On the pitching side, I just spoke with the Texas Rangers yesterday. They put in a requisition for 12 pieces for their bullpens in Surprise, Arizona. You know, don't know how many of those will get approved, but I got that. I sent one to the Minnesota Twins this week to actually work with their catchers. Their catchers are going to be throwing through the V-Flex to work on throw down to second base. You know, I've got people that are working with the outfielders throwing through these things.
Love it.
And it's just amazing, man. You know, I think the game's, it's right on the cusp of seeing a major shift, you know, and it's just like, man, it's a lot of fun to see this happen. But you got to have a lot of staying power, and it can't be about money. It can't be about fame or any of those things, you fall by the wayside, man. This has a true purpose way beyond baseball. You know, I want to see certain things happen in PE class and with kids at risk and brains at risk, that we can actually produce a healthier brain, you know, and you have to be real careful how you structure what you say out here in the big world, you know, but still hold the patents the way, and they're created the way that I wanted them created, so that we could branch out into, you know, different types of therapy when the time's right for that, Jeff.
Well, Tim, nicely, I got to tell you, this has been a great conversation and the first of many, I can tell you right now. Listen, I really, really appreciate your time today, your insights, and listen to me, maybe most importantly, I appreciate everything that you've been through to get to the point you're at right now, because I'm really grateful to be talking about this at this point in time, and it wouldn't have been possible unless you had that staying power, Tim. Again, the website, everybody, is vflexsports.com. Go there and check it out. And Tim, thank you so much for the conversation today. We're looking forward to talking to you really soon.
Yeah, you can't wait to do it again, Jeff. Thank you, man.
There you go. You know, every once in a while, a great new idea comes along, one that could impact or change the way we go about doing our business. I do believe that the VFlex sport technology is going to change how we develop young players. And the understanding of the mind is the real key component here. Very, very few programs, very, very few coaches really, really understand this stuff right now. And I love that it's making its way into the game, because it's going to be all powerful. If you get a chance, check it out, just to have a look at it. And if you want a better understanding of how we're going to be shifting our approach to developing young talent, especially when it comes to the skill acquisition side of things, this is exactly what we're talking about. And not only that, Tim's story is tremendous. His cousin had a terrible, terrible accident, suffered some brain damage, and being an engineer and builder, he wasn't happy with just the status quo. Well, this is the way it is. And he started investigating potential possibilities for helping his cousin recover, and it's led to this great innovation that's now making its way into Major League Baseball and the college levels and the high school levels as well. It's interesting to see now some of the major league teams really, really getting on board with this brand new technology and science. So a great conversation with Tim. Hey, after the break, we're going to set up spring training, athlete development, and I also want to talk about my brand new book that just came out, The Performance Plan, Strategies for Top Performance in Sport, Business, Coaching, and Life. Whenever you're looking to conquer a goal or achieve something great, you have to have a starting point and the right mindset to set up your plan to attack. That's what the book's all about. We'll talk about it right after this.
Radio Influence brings you the absolute best in digital audio broadcasting. We've got something for everyone. Sports personalities like the fabulous Sports Babe, Rich Herrera, and former Major League Baseball manager Kevin Kennedy, as they take you inside the dugout. We'll take you inside the world of MMA with the MMA Report with Jason Floyd, the MMA Insiders, and the Valor Hour with Tim Loy and Casey Oxidine. Or you could find yourself sitting ringside with wrestling ring announcer David Penn. TV law enforcement analyst and former police officer Vincent Hill breaks down this week's biggest crime stories and takes you beyond the badge. Chef Brian Duffy from TV's Bar Rescue shares his crazy life on the road with Duffified Live. And Scott Ledger will always make you think with some dangerous conversation. All of Radio Influence's shows can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
Hey, and welcome back to Crush Performance, everybody. Jeff Kershaw here. We're your weekly source for performance information. Hey, if you have a topic you'd like us to look into, get to us. CrushPerformance.com is the website. Write to us. Let us know. We may dedicate a segment of the show, maybe even an entire episode to your idea. We want to know what you want to hear about. And trust me, we read every single email that we get, and we've got a couple shows coming up this spring that are dedicated to your ideas. So keep them coming. Much appreciated. Again, CrushPerformance.com. If you want to get us on Twitter, at Jeff Crush, and on Facebook, it is Crush Performance. Today, talking a little baseball, coming off a fantastic conversation with Tim Nicely from VFlex. Listen, this is new technology that's really going to change the game. We are in the middle of this. It is just starting. It's been a 15, 20 year grind for Tim and his company to get this off the ground. But this last year, the team that won the World Series invested in Tim's product in purchasing a few for their developmental leagues, but their big leaguers started using it, and they've bought in a ton of them this year, as have, I believe, at this point, I think 16 other major league teams, and he's starting to get into the college world, because you know what? This is the new age of player development. Look, we've often said we're sort of at a biological ceiling when it comes to the strength and athlete development side, when it comes to the physical stuff, even the skill acquisition and the technique and tactical side of sport, we're almost there. So the next big areas of development are going to be the mind and technology, and Tim Nicely has combined both of those into an incredibly new training system that's going to impact the game of baseball. It already has. So great conversation there. I want to thank him for that. Next week, we're going to be talking more baseball and coaching approach with Jonathan Arnold, who is a pitching coach in the Texas Rangers organization. Jonathan was a player, went on to coach college where he was getting his master's degree in organizational behavior. A lot of business applications here, but we often talk about the transfer between just business and sport, just human performance in general. We're going to have a great talk next week with Jonathan about coaching philosophy, but the process of development and the new age of engaging players to tap into their potential. So I'm really looking forward to that conversation as we look for ways to tap into human performance. And over the years, you know, I'm an avid reader, and I've been asked for years and years to write a book. Jeff, do you have a book? You know, people want drill books. They want mindset books. They want strategy books. And I'm an avid reader. And, you know, working with athletes at every single level in a multitude of sports, and also, you know, delving into the business world a little bit. The radio show has had me exposed to some business people, and I've been out lecturing to oil companies and banks about human performance. It's been a real treat. There's no doubt about it. But I found there's a real common theme in the world of development, and everybody wants to jump to the end. We need to spend more time preparing our attack. As we look to achieve greatness, whatever that might be for you, or as we look to chase down a goal or just simply get better at something, there are some simple rules and strategies you can use to help set yourself up for success that if you don't do it, it's really shooting in the dark. So the book is called The Performance Plan. It's now available on Amazon. Please go get it. Let me know what you think. The goal of this book is to help athletes, coaches, parents, teachers, managers, business owners, just come up with strategic thinking when it comes to achieving goals and objectives, no matter what it might be. There's incredible parallels, as we mentioned, between the world of academics, sport, business. Anywhere there's human performance, human development, and goals and objectives that you're trying to reach, there are strategies you can use. If you know what they are, you can tap into them. And if you don't, man, it's really, really tough. In part of the book, I talk about the game of chance and luck, and the fact that we don't prescribe to luck, and I really don't. We say luck is part of it, you know, we kind of say it loosely, but I really don't like talking about luck. I like to minimize it. I like to almost eliminate it from the game plan. I like to get control, and then we just respond to whatever happens. Now, I know there's circumstance that either can create opportunity, things that are out of your control, but that's a whole other conversation inside of the book. Not just understanding what's in your control, but also clearly understanding what's not in your control and what you should be focusing on as you move through the process of development. So we're really proud of this book. It's a long time coming. And again, you know, I'm just sort of sharing stories and ideas and strategies that we've learned in the real world of performance. This is real live stuff and things that have worked for some of the world's top performers and that, frankly, I am 100% confident can work for absolutely anybody on this planet if they know what to do. So again, it's called The Performance Plan, strategies for top performance in sport, business, coaching, and life. It's available on Amazon right now. Go get it, people. Let me know what you think. And if you have any questions, comments, or smart remarks regarding the book, let us have it, man. It's the only way to get better is constructive criticism, feedback, and learning. So thanks, everybody. I want to thank our guest, Tim Nicely, today. Fantastic technology that is going to influence the game of baseball and many, many others as his company grows and progresses. Next week, we're talking more baseball. We're talking human development and injury prevention and what is going on with these free agents. That's next week on Crush Performance. We'll talk to you then.
Goodbye now. Don't forget to ride.
This is a Jim Fannin Show quick fix on Radio Influence.
The average person, based on our proprietary research, has approximately 2,000 up to 3,000 thoughts every day. So that's the time you wake up, time you go to bed, every 12 seconds or shorter. Sometimes you can hold it longer, one thought. By the end of the day, you'll have ticked off maybe 2,000 thoughts, maybe 3,000 thoughts. These thoughts that we have are either in the future or the past. You can't hold a future thought and a past thought simultaneously. And you can only have a positive thought and a negative thought, but not simultaneously. It's one or the other. Or you can just be completely immersed in the moment. As your thoughts increase, so does your breathing. Now, the correlation with lower thoughts, you'll have lower breathing. So the best in the world are going to have 6, maybe 8, no more than 10 breaths a minute. And this is definitely a stress buster.
The Jim Fannin Show can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.